Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
The world is treating me bad. Misery.
Yes.
I'm the kind of guy.
I love this stuff. Hopefully the audience does too. Little Misery. No Magical Mystery Tour. He asked me a letter just to give you. He's like, well, pick a letter. So I said M because of my sexy last name that everybody gets right all the time. And we get a little Misery from the Beatles. 888. And listen, the 888-808-1019. I always should finish the phone number. Sometimes I go right on. 888. Mick Monaco here with you. Doesn't make much sense now, does it, Chris? The Giants have put us in misery, that's for sure. I don't know what could have been said today, but I'm interested to hear if you guys want to call me up at 888-808 and tell 808-1019.
And tell that five times,
well, that time I did it on purpose. I got a look from you, though. Tell me what you could have heard from Joe Shane that would have made you happy, or if there was anything, or what you think of the future. Because honestly, like, as difficult as it is and as unbelievably poor as this team has been the last 2 years under Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, I don't know why. I still feel like it's different than other versions of this losing from the New York Giants. I feel like this team is still different. And I don't see, like, I just, and again, it's to the point where I blame the quarterback so much. And it's probably unfair, but I blame him so much that I'm willing to give this group a try. And mainly, my main point is, when they hired Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, and this speaks to the first year, and the decision to not give him the fifth-year option, which clearly they didn't have faith in Daniel Jones when they didn't give him the fifth-year option to start with. And I understood it at the time. Why would they have faith in him? He didn't play for them. Let's play it out. Why give him guaranteed money? Let's see how he performs. And he had the great year, and it changed everything. It changed everything. And giving him that contract and not franchise-tagging him and doing what they did changed the rebuild, changed what needed to be done, and ultimately, it avoided them having the possibility of doing what they were brought here to do. The reason they got hired is because of what happened in Buffalo with Josh Allen. It's why they got hired. And I've always said, and I still contest this, and maybe that's why I feel the way I do, watching these two leave without ever them getting the opportunity to draft and develop their quarterback is going to feel like a waste of time. I don't want these last 3 years to feel like a waste. It's already been losing. I don't want it to feel like a waste. And if Brian Daboll never gets his hands on a young quarterback to develop himself, then why did we bring him in? Why hire an offensive guy who came in here and developed Josh Allen? Why stick him with a lousy quarterback that the owner himself called, you know, broken and ruined before they ever had a chance to coach him? When they hired Shane and Daboll, the owner called Daniel Jones ruined. We've done everything to ruin this kid. That's what he said. So you bring in an offensive coach who's developed a young quarterback and you hand him a ruined quarterback and say, hey, go about it, and he gives you a great year one, and then since it's been misery, and now he gets fired off of that and never gets an opportunity to do what you brought him here for? It just seems like a waste. Seems like a waste. Frank in Palisades Park, what's up, Frank? You're on the Fan.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, buddy.
Listen, hey, listen, I get it. Joe Shane has not been perfect. It would have been nice to hear him say, listen, we play like crap. We got to do better. Would have been nice for him to hear to say that. But you know what? He's got to cover his own butt. So he's got to make it sound like it's a positive thing. But I do see similarities between him and another general manager that was pretty extraordinary for the Giants. Remember George Young?
Of course I remember. I mean, listen, I vaguely. I mean, I'm only, I was born in 1983. But
well,
yes.
Okay, I remember, I was born in 74, so I remember some of the Giants during that era.
Yeah. So I mean, I know who he was. Yeah.
Yeah, he gets tired in 99 and hired Ray Perkins. Not a great coach, but he did give him one plan as a parent. Sounds similar. He leaves. They keep George Young. And he ends up hiring one of the greatest coaches the Giants have ever seen,
right?
Bill Parcells.
Right.
Why don't we give Joe Brian Daboll is probably a lost cause. There's too much losing. I don't think he can survive this. They might have to let him go, but keep Joe Shane. I think the players that he's drafted are pretty damn good. Tyler Lubin, Tyrone Tracy Jr. I mean,
there's a couple. You're right. This year he hit on a couple of late round picks, no doubt. Tracy runs the ball hard. He's leading the league rookies with rushing yards. Newbin's been really good, but you know he drafted a bust at the offensive line position in Evan Neal with the 7th overall pick, an absolute bust. He took a 3rd-round pick on a wide receiver to help that wide receiving core that was awful, and he can't see the field. I mean, he caught a couple passes last week. I was shocked. Kayvon Thibodeau has been okay. I wouldn't go bust. I wouldn't call him a bust necessarily, but has he impacted the game the way you would hope a top six NFL draft pick would impact the game? No, he has not. I mean, you look at the most talented players on this team over the last couple of years, they've been as much as the cap hell he's left them in, which we hear a lot about, the cap hell that was left here. But, I mean, let's be honest. Sexy Dexy, Andrew Thomas. Before they traded, before he left this year, Saquon Barkley. Those are all previous regimes. That's not Dable. That is not Shane. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's done an okay job in the draft, but he's not done a great job. It's not like he's made so many great decisions in the draft that you got to keep him. And I think these two are so tied together, unlike any other coach and GM. I don't want to fire. I think they both go at the same time, or I don't think you separate them. They came here from the same organization doing the same thing. Like, they work perfectly together. I think they're a tandem. And I don't always agree with that. And I do agree with you. I certainly wouldn't do it the other way. Like, I'm not firing Joe Shane and keeping Brian Daboll and having another GM inherit Brian Daboll. That won't happen. If I'm only going to keep one, it only makes sense to keep the GM. I agree with you, but I think they're tied together. I think you fire one, you fire the other. I think they're a duo. Nick in New Jersey. What's up, Nick?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
All right, so, well, thank you for making it painfully obvious that I'm going to have to defend Seinfeld for the rest of my life, but I'm only 24, so.
Okay. You're only 24, you weren't even around when it was airing live.
No, but, you know, it's one of the perks of being the youngest of three by quite a mile, so.
Yeah, well, listen, it's one of the perks of Netflix and Hulu. Remember when that's how funny the world has changed. It hasn't been that long. Do you remember when, I don't know if you do, but it doesn't feel that long ago when the Seinfeld DVD box set was coming out. It was like a big deal. They're going to have every episode of Seinfeld on a DVD. That's awesome. And now it's just like, what the hell's a DVD? And everything's on, you know, you can find it on Netflix or one of the streaming services. But it was a big deal when they came out with those the Seinfeld
VHS
all on DVD.
I still have a VHS player in my room.
No, you do not.
Yes, I do. And
in your room currently? Is it currently hooked up?
Yes, there is. Yep, there is advertisements on every single one of those for the exact signpost boxes you're talking about, the ads before the movie actually plays. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, you have VHS. That's amazing. It's one thing to have it, like if you have it somewhere in your house, or you don't want to throw it out, it's nostalgia or whatever, but like to actually have it, you're a 24-year-old man with a VCR still hooked up and functioning in his house.
Yes,
what do you watch on it?
Well,
What's the last VHS you put in there?
The last VHS I put in there was 101 Dalmatians for my baby nephew.
you watched 101 Dalmatians on VHS for your nephew. That is, hey, listen, good for you. That's funny. I have two young kids. To me, I have Disney, so like I have Disney Plus, so it's easy to just imagine just going to Disney Plus. But I have the VHS. I do remember some commercials with VHS, like you mentioned the commercial before. I don't know why, but someone put it out on social media. I know we're going off topic here a little bit, but someone put it on social media, the commercial that used to, it was on the Ninja Turtle movies, the old Ninja Turtle movies, like the live action Ninja Turtle movies.
Mm-hmm.
It's a baseball Little League Pizza Hut commercial. And it's about the kid in right field who can't catch the ball, and then he does, and they all go celebrate at Pizza Hut with the red roof. Like, I just remember that. And some of those commercials before the movies on those VHSs are classic. So I would love to, for nostalgia purposes, but I can't imagine a 24-year-old kid actually having a VHS that works. That's hilarious.
Yes, sir. Well, I wanted to say that, you know, I appreciate your perspective on the whole Joe Shane interview. Nothing he's going to say today is going to make or break the season, and fans shouldn't be looking to that for any kind of answers. And I'm never going to be somebody that looks at my team and actively roots for them to lose a game and sit there and cheer for the other team. But I am somebody that's going to wake up in the morning and be like, it's probably better if they lose. I'm going to cheer when Malik Nabers makes an insane catch or Tyron Tracy has a long run. But to me, the whole week leading up to the Panthers game, I was saying to myself, this is the Washington games from last year. This is the Patriots game from last year.
Yeah.
And now they have Drake May and Jaden Daniels. I was saying that to myself
Bingo.
All week.
No, and, of course.
I was in the gym, you know, this week talking to some people. And, you know, older fans, it seems to be, don't really like the argument for losing games and having a higher draft pick. Well, you're going to miss on that pick, too. There's no guarantee, and people don't seem to understand that you have a higher batting average. It's not supposed to be a guarantee, but the higher picks of quarterbacks, the higher the batting average is. You know, the higher you pick the top five, generally, those guys are about a 50% hit rate over the last 10 years. And when you fall out of the top five and you go in the middle of the first round, those guys almost never hit. So, you know, the question becomes with what quarterback is going to be one of Sanders, Cam Ward, and I believe Jalen Miller is going to combine his way into being in the conversation.
And there'll always be a guy who we didn't think would be at the top of the draft who finds his way there because of whatever reason, Senior Bowl performance or obviously combine performance. There'll be some quarterbacks who always suddenly are in the top, you know, pick conversation, Anthony Richardson. Like, there's a bunch of guys who suddenly have thrust themselves into the conversation. I don't know who's the best quarterback. That's not my job. But here's what I'll tell you. I can give you an opinion, but it would just be my opinion, and it's not really pertinent to the conversation. I want, if they're going to do this, and you mentioned those two wins against, like people say, I kept hearing, they don't play it anymore because they've been rotating through, but I remember the promo Licata going on and on about tanking. The draft's a crapshoot. What do you get? What does a higher draft pick get you? And I'm just like screaming, I'm like, well, what do the wins get you? Like, I'm sorry. I am not, like, It's a matter of actual tangible things. The winning gets you the thought of keeping the room together and building on it. We have seen that fail with the New York Giants year in and year out. They had a winning season, won a road playoff game that everybody, you know, harkens back to like it's the heyday of the franchise, for crying out loud. This is a team that beat the undefeated Patriots, and we keep going back. Well, they did win that road playoff game against Minnesota, and they followed that up with 40-0 against the Cowboys. Then they won some games down the stretch and beat New England and beat the Packers, who ended up going on a postseason run, a playoff run. And then they open up this year, awful. Like, there is no correlation. That's just what we hope, what we think. That's in the air. That's not real. What's tangible is giving this GM and coach, if it is going to be them, a better draft pick, a larger pool of players to pick from. That's real. Could they get it wrong? Of course they could. I don't want the chance, like they always say, oh, they could have got, you know, Josh Allen was picked eighth. You don't need to be a top pick. Lamar Jackson's at the end of the draft. Patrick Mahomes was traded up and picked for in the 10th spot. Like, you don't have to be at the top of the draft. I go, in all of those situations, they needed other teams to make the mistake to leave them there. I can't count on other teams' stupidity. I can't go into the draft saying, hey, listen, the other guys might get it wrong and the right guy might fall to me. I need and have to hope that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane know what they're doing, can designate the right guy, and I want the best opportunity for that guy to still be there. It's not hard. It's not hard.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's tangible. I can touch it. It's real. The more players, the better. Anything else is just, we hope it pans out. We hope they build this. We hope they build that. What are those ways? The two teams they beat are so much far better off. Washington is so far better off. New England is so far better off. Now that they have new quarterbacks, now that they're building something, Jaden Daniels has completely transformed the franchise. They're playing Thursday night to go win the division. The Giants are 2-8, and we're parsing words about, I'm a fan. I want to win. I don't want to win. I don't want hollow victories late in the season. I want to be a winning team. I want to be a winning franchise. I don't want to win meaningless games to go 3-8. I want to never have to worry about 3-8 again. 888-808-1019. All right, so I'm told that the great Jerry Seinfeld was actually listening and has called in. And I'm hoping I can, defend his honor here like he needs it. Against Paul saying a couple of good Seinfeld episodes. So, Jerry, if this is actually Jerry Seinfeld, thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. Let me just tell you
You're
first.
You're so welcome.
There are two people in this studio, and I'm one of them who is a fan of you, amazingly enough. So thank you so much for calling.
You're so welcome. I love the show.
Oh,
I'm not
you.
Arrogant enough to think that everybody should like what I do. I just wanted you to know it doesn't bother me. I'm okay with it. That, one out of two is fine for me.
That's it? You're good with that? Yeah, well, listen. The idea, first of all, I do watch The Court. Every time I see it, it makes me think of the Kenny Rogers episode because the red just blurs my vision of these courts. I don't know if you've seen any of these NBA games in the in-season tournament. The courts are just hideous, and it just, I feel like you every time, I literally see you rubbing your eyes walking out of the room every time I look at these courts, but No, I mean, come on. Here's also something. I know you listen to Steve for years, and you listen to this radio station. You're a big fan. Every once in a while, there is a producer on the other side who wants to spark that argument. He wants to get involved. I could see it in his face as I was looking at him. He's you know, face to the microphone. He's ready to turn me on. He wants to say something. I reference Seinfeld, and he's going to give me that little bit of, well, there's only a few good Seinfeld episodes. So then suddenly we're in a discussion.
We made 180 episodes. Yes. So we made three good ones. We're like the Giants, you know.
That's true. You
with three and 177. That's our record.
Right. That's why Larry had to leave before it was finally over. He just felt like there wasn't enough good ones in the mix. So he actually told me. So Paul told me you're still in touch with Steve. Do you still talk to Steve Summers every once in a while?
I haven't talked to Steve in a while. I think I contributed to an article about him some time back, but no, I have not. I don't keep in touch with, people once they've outlived their usefulness.
Yes. I wouldn't say that about Steve, but you can. That's for sure. But and let me ask you about the Mets while I have you. Have 2 seconds? Because I know the Mets had an incredible season. I know you're a huge Met fan. This year was
huge.
One of those years that, you know, come around very few, especially with an owner with this much money and what we're hoping the Mets will be. This is the last year, really, that the Mets will have this sort of no anticipation, no expectations, and to have this unbelievable run. It kind of ends after this, and then the heaviness of expectation will weigh on this team. So,
you could make a pretty good argument that this season was the most magical, not counting the two series wins. This was the most magical because it was a chemistry. And it was an energy, and it was an emotional thing of guys that weren't supposed to be that good.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what could beat that. With this winning with Juan Soto and Shohei Ohtani, would that be as fun as this?
No, I agree with you. I know this is odd, but I figured I'll tell you this because, you know, me and you are buddies. I'm a big Paul McCartney guy, and he has a song called Dear Boy.
Me too.
And there's a song, Dear Boy, on the Ram album, and it says, even when you fall in love, it won't be half as good as this. And I think of that, like, when I was watching this Mets season, because you're right. Championships are great. You want the parade. You want the championships. And ultimately, you got to get great players to do so, and he's going to probably go and try and do that. But there's something special about having the season where you, especially where they were, and to climb out of it. It's not only just a team with low expectations making it, it's a team that dug themselves such a hole, and the ability to turn themselves into one of the better teams in the league, dig themselves out of the hole, and get all the way to the NLCS was just an incredible ride. And I can imagine for someone like you, it must have been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was the most fun. I mean, as an adult, to be jumping up and down and screaming, what makes you jump up and down and scream as an adult?
Right.
Nothing. But there's no zillion-dollar player that's going to throw his helmet down like Jesse Winker.
That's true.
I mean, right?
Yeah.
That to me, the value of that, that guy going crazy, his enthusiasm, that made it more fun than anything.
Yeah.
Do you want them to get Soto?
Well, I'm a Yankee fan, so no, you have no business going to get Juan Soto. No, how dare you? No, you think you're the Yankees all of a sudden? No, I want him to be a Yankee, but I do think it's going to be fun because this is the first time. I know last year Yamamoto kind of both teams were going for Yamamoto, but it wasn't the same. He's been a Yankee. He was just playing in the World Series as a Yankee. So to have Steve Cohen finally decide to just say, listen, I've finally arrived after this year where we took a step back in many ways and still had this great run. I'm finally ready to, you know, use my power to try and get one of the great generational young talents and to do it at the expense of the Yankees. I think it's going to be a blast for the next couple of weeks. But no, I'm hoping that the Yankees recognize, you know, what they have to do. But I'm assuming you're kind of making it seem like you would be okay if they don't get him and go about building building a team rather than getting Juan Soto.
Yeah, I don't know about these giant players, but tell me about the pain of the fifth inning. Tell me about that.
Really?
I want to know what did that.
Do
feel
I have to
like
go over this with Jerry
fan?
Seinfeld right now? Really?
Yeah, I want to hear your pain.
Jerry. That is, I'm not kidding.
What was the worst of the three plays for you? Which one was the worst? The judge play was the worst.
Well, you know,
it's a guy, you don't want to see that happen to that guy. He's a nice guy. He's a great, obviously one of the, a great player. And he's tattooed with that moment.
Forever. No doubt. It's still, honestly, I'm not kidding. A day hasn't gone by yet that I haven't thought about it for a little bit. In the moment.
It makes me feel so good to hear that. I can't tell you.
And I'm glad I'm pleasing you, Jerry. In the moment.
Yeah,
in the moment,
pain is my pleasure.
That's, well, thank you very much. The moment, in the moment, it wasn't, because it's only step one. So many things have to go wrong. I don't anticipate at 5-0 that a drop fly ball is going to doom that game, doom that season. So in the moment, I'm frustrated and I can't believe it happened. But it didn't hurt as bad as watching Gerrit Cole just stand there and not cover first. In the moment, that was the one that like just absolutely drove me nuts. But you're right.
Well, why is Rizzo not taking more heat? Come on.
Yeah.
A lot of first basemen would make that play.
A lot of first basemen, yeah, well, can't believe I'm breaking this down with Jerry Seinfeld. Yes, I'm very upset with Rizzo, but here's the thing. If that ball was such a squibber and was moving and tailing away from him, he had to make sure. He's not Keith Hernandez, I get it, but like he has to make sure that ball doesn't get by him. And bottom line, you're not wrong. In a perfect world, he makes that play and runs to first base and Betts is out. But that doesn't
even
excuse
in this world, a non, an imperfect
it
world.
It doesn't excuse like, it doesn't excuse the pitcher for not covering the base, though.
No,
like, that's like I don't know if they would have made the play. And honestly, I don't even think the rest of the inning happens. Like I'm a big believer in the idea of like even if Betts beats it out and Cole made the play and Rizzo's just late with the toss, he's late getting to the bag. Mookie Betts and his speed beats it out. It doesn't feel as bad, and the rest of the inning might not happen. But the idea that the Yankees didn't act, the idea that the Yankees had a brain cramp in that moment, the idea the play never even got off the ground somehow makes it worse. Like, I almost, if you remember the Steve Bartman play?
Of course.
Right.
If
Alou doesn't go absolutely crazy after the ball's not caught, throw the glove down and throw an absolute fit and make everybody in the building realize what the hell just happened and how close we were to that big out. Like, I don't know if the rest of the inning happens. And Bartman's not recognized as this tragic figure. But because of the action afterwards, I almost hearken it back to that and makes me feel like that. Even if the play wasn't made, you can't just stand there and go, oops, like that. It can't happen. So it's devastating.
Did you notice the next day after that game, I don't know if you noticed the Yankee hats per block in Manhattan went from 6 to 0 in one day. It was as a Mets fan, that was a very thrilling moment for me. They were vacuumed. You can't walk down one block in New York City without seeing a Yankee hat.
Yeah. And then for a day it was put away. Yeah.
Fantastic.
You know, it's fine. You call in to let us all know that it's okay that people don't like your show. And I applaud you for that. But now, like, you're taking bows for a very successful losing season from the Mets, and then you're taking more joy in Yankee failures than Mets success. You are looking for my pain. It's very telling.
Season, yes, but a deeper run than our American League counterparts here in this city. A deeper run, 6 games over 5.
Oh, yeah. Well, it also they were playing in the World Series, though. You can't call it a deeper run. They won one more game against the Dodgers because the Dodgers were in a position after the Padres series where they were forced to throw 2 bullpen games instead of only needing 1 against the Yankees. That's pretty.
Right.
Dave Roberts gave up 2 against the Mets and only gave up 1 against the Yankees.
Have you watched the comeback on Netflix?
Amazingly enough, it hasn't been in the top of my list. No. I watched Game 7. They have a new documentary out about all different Game 7s, and I watched the Aaron Boone Game 7 to make me feel a little bit better. But no, I haven't watched the debacle that was the 2004. But I got to be honest with you. This hurts more than that.
Yeah.
I know that's historic.
Did you want a slow death?
Yes, I am a Boone guy. I'm a Boone and Brian Cashman apologist. I don't know if you know that about me.
Okay. No, I didn't know that.
I'm a big Yankee shill to many people, and I have no problem saying that.
I wish you the best. It's a great franchise. It's the greatest sports franchise in history, and you have a lot to be proud of.
That's how I put it sometimes. But people get very upset.
That's true.
People expect more. Just not a champion.
Inning.
Yeah.
Of the ALCS, the fifth inning
of
this
the World
year.
Series.
Reminds you. Oh yeah, the World
I'm never going to live it down. No, and especially now that I'm like, you know, every time I have to tell the story about it, I talked to Jerry Seinfeld, I have to say what we were talking about. So it's
well. Thank you for taking my
call.
Well,
thank you for making it.
Thank you for sticking up for me. And I just want you to know that my feelings were not hurt because I'm happy I can make even one person happy, and it's you, Chris.
Well, yes, absolutely. Well, it's more than that. You made a ton of people happy. In my opinion, it's the greatest show the comedy in the history of television. I'm a huge Seinfeld fan. I'm a huge fan
thank
of you.
So much. Thank
I
you.
Even I even labored through your Pop-Tart movie. That's how much I liked you. So.
My Emmy nominated number one.
No, it actually did make me laugh. It was
we had a lot of fun. With
yeah,
that.
It really yeah. it did. It made me laugh. And plus, you know, just I'm a huge cereal guy, so just the idea of
it was
you know comedic and very much so. But it also there was interesting tidbits in there about learning about how like the breakfast food industry was something I was unaware of, like how impactful it was and how it literally changed American mornings. Like it was a little fascinating along with all the you know kind of bombastic humor that you put into it.
Yeah, but they there really was a war to create it,
right?
Who could create it first? That was the true part of the story.
Yeah,
that's where we started with it.
Well,
but anyway, thank you, Chris.
Of course,
I appreciate the time.
Absolutely, thank you for calling in. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Jerry.
My pleasure.
Be well. Okay. All right, that was Jerry Seinfeld. I did not anticipate that today. I did not anticipate. You never know. If I would have mentioned that at 3 o'clock in the morning when I'm normally on, Jerry doesn't call in, that's for sure. 888-808-1019. We got a break. See that? Look at you, Paul. Now you got to get me McCartney. You got me Seinfeld. You got to get me McCartney now.
This is what I do. This is what the glue does. I make things happen, man. I make things happen. I put things together. Seinfeld calls in to you because of me.
That's very true. I think I didn't want to get into it too much with him, but yes, I know the show has way more than two good episodes. I can't believe you said that. But good for you. You got it done, buddy.
I said it was one of the few. I didn't say it was just two.
Right. Obviously, so give me one more. Give me one more good Seinfeld episode.
The pilot.
Oh, that is such a rote, just couldn't think of another thing. So you said, what happened in the pilot?
I forgot. It happened a long time ago.
Exactly right. Exactly right. The only thing I remember from the pilot, I believe, was something at the airport, and George was wearing like purple sweatpants. That's all I remember. But there's obviously a ton of great Seinfeld episodes. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Quick break after that exciting segment. And we actually will talk to John Morosi of Fox and MLB Network. He'll come on and give us a little bit of what Jerry was talking about with all the money for Juan Soto. Where will he go? And then I want to ask him specifically about the surrounding players, because I think we all have an idea of what's happening with Juan Soto. It's going to be a ton of money. It's going to be one of these big teams, specifically, I think, probably the Yankees or the Mets. But what's plan B for these two teams, and what are those contracts looking like? What are the numbers looking like in that area? So we'll get to Morosi and go a little bit around baseball. Still take your football calls. McMonagle here with you on The Fan all the way till midnight on our ride to midnight right here on a Tuesday evening. McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Yep. If you missed that, that's one of the moments I won't forget. Jerry Seinfeld just called in. I don't know if I should have talked more Seinfeld with him. It felt like, I know that's what he called in about, but that's just sounded like he wouldn't have been very interested in that. I don't know. And I understand why. You know, he just wanted to make it clear that it's okay if you don't like the show. And we had a little fun with it. But what am I going to start telling him my favorite episodes and going through episodes? It would have been weird. So I was curious with him as a Met fan. I don't know if he's been on the station since the Met run. And what we learned is Jerry Seinfeld is very much like Bob Uecker. That's what we learned. He enjoyed the Yankee tears, that's for sure. He was very happy. He's living on they won more games than against the Dodgers than the Mets than the Yankees did, and that fifth inning, and he hit a chord with me, because I got to tell you, it is true. That inning will forever haunt me. It's as bad as anything I've ever experienced as a fan. I've never been more sick to my stomach. I couldn't even watch. It's worse than 04. It's worse than 01. Those teams won recently. You know, the 01 team, that one, that moment, especially with everything around, you know, the city and 9/11 and that team and the heroics at home, up with Mariano on the mound. Soriano hits that home run. He's got his hand in the air, rounding the bases, and then they still blow that game to the Diamondbacks. That one hurt. That was a gut punch watching Luis Gonzalez hit that little blooper over Jeter's head. That was a gut punch. The 2004, we go back on it, it's disgusting and gross and everything, but it was a slow death. You saw that coming. They didn't have the pitching. You knew that if they took that back to Yankee Stadium, they had John Lieber for game six, who had won a game earlier in the series, but you had Schilling against Lieber, and then you had no idea what was going to happen for the Yankees in game seven. Like, it was a slow death. By the time it was over, you knew it was over. Damon hits the grand slam, and you have all game to stew in it. Like, it's not the same. And although the Yankees would have still had to go back to L.A. and win two games out in L.A., it wouldn't have been easy. I'm not saying they would have won the World Series, but everything went right in that game. Judge hits the home run. You're getting a dominant performance from Cole. You get the add-on runs. Jazz hits the home run. Stanton hits the home run. It's 5-0. They're beating up the Dodgers, and they're going to go back to L.A., winning those last two games convincingly, and all of the momentum. And then they just quite literally drop the ball. And Jerry's right. That is something Judge is going to have to live with until he wins a championship. That is it. Won't matter that he's hit more home run. Won't matter that he broke Roger Maris' home run record. It won't matter anything else. It won't matter how many MVPs he wins. He dropped the ball in the World Series. That's what he gets. That's it. It's forever that. And Jerry knows it. Jerry knows. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Deegan in Wappinger Falls. What's up, Deegan?
What's up, Big Mac? How are you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
I just wanted to talk about, you guys are great. All of your shows are great. But I just wanted to talk about how the, you know, that World Series definitely ended up being pretty bad because the infield defense was terrible, obviously.
Yes.
But I'm trying to talk about the Giants because the Giants are in a really bad place. And I don't think we should fire any type of head coach, any type of general manager. I think we should keep on going with the system that we have and keep on having the organization.
I understand. I don't think there needs to be a change either, despite the losing. I don't think there needs to be a change with Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. I honestly don't believe that. I do think they've done, I think it's different than previous regimes, and I'm tired of changing, and I do think it's worth seeing this through. And ultimately, they're going to be in a position, hopefully, to draft the young quarterback and develop him, and I think they're good at it. I think that's why they were hired. I want to see if they have a chance to do that. Now, they're 2-8. And if it hits rock bottom and bottoms out and they lose all these games and the owner wants to decide to move on, you can't scream about it. They're that miserable. But I don't know where you go from here. Unless, and we've talked about this before, and I don't know how legitimate it is, if, you know, the greatest coach in the history of the sport, arguably, Bill Belichick, shows a desire to want to be the coach of this team, that's a tough thing to turn down. Now, I don't know if he'll do that as long as they're under contract. But doesn't seem like something I would put beyond Coach Belichick, but to make inroads with the Giants and let them know that he would love to be the coach and you know, have his career very much end up like a Seinfeld episode and be circular and end where it started. Maybe he would be into something like that. I think he would be. But other than that, I don't know where you go. I don't know what you do. And I do believe in Dable and Shane in some way. And, you know, maybe it's just the minor things, like watching them in the Hard Knocks offseason edition, know exactly what needed to be done. Like, I agree with almost all the stuff they did. It just hasn't worked out. Like, moving on from Saquon Barkley, I still believe is the right thing to do. They wanted to trade up and get the quarterback. Nobody was listening. But they wanted to. And they recognized how good Daniels was going to be. Early on in the process. From the combine, they knew. I want them to have the opportunity to do what they were brought here to do. And they've never been given that opportunity. Joe Judge was here to turn around the team. Daniel Jones was still a young quarterback coming off a great or very positive rookie season. And he dragged the team down and then talked his way out of a job. I feel like these are different circumstances. McAdoo, again, benched Eli Manning and created the whole fan base against him. It was more than just losing with those two. I still believe in these guys. And there's an opportunity to still have something with this group. And I don't care about the press conference. I don't care about any of that. I just need them to stop playing Daniel Jones specifically. Rick in Ridgefield. What's up, Rick?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm going to give you four quick points. I'll let you go because I've been on hold for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, the season was lost against the Cowboys when they were 2-3. They kicked 5 field goals. Daniel Jones should have had 3 touchdowns, but his arm strength was too weak. Number two, I'm a season ticket holder. Unfortunately, I got to go to the games.
Mm-hmm.
Tailgate eases the pain.
That's true.
Management should return what we pay for PSLs for giving us a garbage product out of the last 23 years. Number three, John Mara and Hank Steinbrenner for the Yankees have been living off their father's coattails. Okay, and I'll leave you with that.
No, listen, I understand. And certainly John Mara. Look, John Mara, he did win a Super Bowl without his father. But the coach was hired by Tom Coughlin was hired by his father, and he has not proven to be nearly as successful. I get it. Hal Steinbrenner, again, I'm so tired of that conversation. The Yankees win. I know they haven't won the championship. I get it. All right, George went the entire 80s without winning. All right, George was banished. All right, George was hiring people to dig up dirt on his superstars and was banished for the game. And while he was banished, that's when they built the dynasty. Like, I love George Steinbrenner, and I'm not trying to knock him, but like, we act as if there was nothing but success with George Steinbrenner. It's not true. There was issues with George. And at the time, I just watched the documentary Joel Sherman did, and was the ESPN Plus, whoever it was. I apologize. I don't remember exactly where it was streaming. Peacock. I think it was Peacock. And they announced him being banished, and the entire Yankee Stadium crowd erupted in applause. Like, we forget where they were in the early 90s under George, trading everybody and building a crazy losing team. So while Hal has not had the success of his father just yet, I view it a little differently than the Giants, who haven't had two seasons out of the last 10 where they've won more than 40% of their games. Like, this is as bad as it gets. They are the worst in the NFL. Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hello, McMonagle.
Hello, Eddie.
Now, that was a good spot with Jerry. You should have went to me right after him. But
I should have thought about that.
Right.
Should have involved you, Eddie. That was so silly of me.
You should have gave him a minute on the Jets and the Giants. He's got a ton of material for that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't want to keep him for, 20 minutes. And, it's Jerry Seinfeld. He was calling in to just be nice. I didn't want to keep him forever, but okay.
Well, you said you were going to talk to him about Seinfeld episodes, and that would have bored him. The Jets are a hot topic, man. He's a hot topic guy.
Well, I know him to be a Yankee fan. I'm a Met fan more than a
Met
football
fan. Met fan.
Yes.
But now you got him on your – he's your guy now.
That's it. He's my guy. I can reach out anytime I want. Me and Jerry are tight.
Right? Sal's going to be jealous. Gio's going to definitely be jealous of that, man. You don't need the morning show no more. You've got Jerry in your pocket.
Right. That's true. I get me and Jerry Seinfeld tight. There's no doubt about it. That's changed the course of my life, that 15 minutes. No doubt. I'm skyrocketing so high, you won't be able to see me, Eddie. Enjoy it now. Well, this might be the last time we speak before I get a full-blown acting, you know, gig or something. Who knows? Better take this conversation for all it's worth, because you might never get a chance to talk to me again, Eddie.
Did you hear that? All right, on Shane, you know, it was like taking castor oil and being told that it tastes good. You ever have to do that?
No, I've never had to take castor oil, no. Yeah, listen, he told you he was all the cliches that they give you, that we're close, we're this, we're that, I think we're doing a good job, we believe this. Like, we all know what is going on at 2-8. Like, we all know. There's nothing he could have said. Like, what do you expect him to say? We're trash, we're awful, we've done it. I mean, they don't say stuff like that. He believes in his process. I respect him for having conviction. Like, no, everybody wants to talk about accountability, but nobody wants to talk about conviction. Nobody wants to talk about believing in yourself. Nobody wants to talk about, like, hey, I know I've made some mistakes, but I know I can do better. No, it's got to be, I'm trash, I'm terrible, and boy, you know, if I'm lucky, if the owner doesn't can me. But at the same time, yeah, we know they're not close. They're 2-8. They're the worst team in the NFC. They currently sit with the second overall pick in the draft. They're not close. They're not close. 888-808-1019. Quick break. We'll come back with John Morosi of MLB Network and Fox News to talk a little bit of hot stove baseball. We'll see where the Juan Soto sweepstakes sit. And we'll get into some other guys who might be on the Plan B radar for the New York Yankees and New York Mets.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.